Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Glad you could be with us for this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry, and with me today is Eric Johnson, colleague at MRM, and for the past several days we have been going through a book that I happened to pick up at a Mormon History Association conference down in St. George in May of 2011, titled Modern Mormonism, Myths and Realities by Mormon apologist Robert L. Millett. And we've noticed that many times Dr. Millett has a habit of quoting and misquoting various Christian leaders. And on page 29, he talks about how many years ago on a Sunday morning, he says, I opened the door and reached down to pick up the morning newspaper. When I saw beside the paper a plastic bag containing a paperback book, I brought both inside and laid the newspaper aside as I browsed the paperback. The cover was a lovely picture of a mountain stream, but the title of the book revealed to me what, in fact, the book was all about. It was an anti-Mormon treatise. It's actually titled, God's Word, Final, Infallible, and Forever, Compelling Evidence for the Bible's Inspiration and Preservation. Interesting how from that title he would assume it's an anti-Mormon book. That seems kind of odd. But then again, what is an anti-Mormon treatise? Again, here is a Mormon apologist using the phrase anti-Mormon to try and demonize someone who may be critical of LDS doctrine. How does that make them against Mormons? And that's exactly what an anti-Mormon should be if you look at it properly. An anti-Mormon is someone who's against Mormons. I don't think the writer of this book, Floyd McElveen, was trying to show any of his animosity, perceived or otherwise, against the LDS people. Certainly that was not the case. But Millett goes on to say on page 29 of Modern Mormonism, he says, many of the arguments in the book against the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints were old and worn out, dead horses that have been beaten since the days of Joseph Smith. Let me stop there and say this. I hear this a lot from Latter-day Saints. Oh, that's an old chestnut. That's a phrase I hear a lot coming out of BYU, an old chestnut. I wish our LDS friends would understand, it doesn't matter if it's an old argument. We do not feel that the Mormon Church or Mormon apologists have correctly answered this or convincingly answered these arguments. What do they want us to do? Make up things? We're not making things up. These are things that concern us. And if they concern us, then it should be up to the Mormons to try to respond to this in a convincing manner. We just don't feel they're convincing. But yet, he uses this argument, it's old and wore out, a dead horse, been beaten since the days of Joseph Smith. Latter-day Saints had responded to the issues posed scores of times, but they continued to crop up. Kind of like the way Robert Millett keeps bringing up quotes from church fathers about theosis and things like that. They've been answered, and I think they have been answered convincingly. When you even have Eastern Orthodox people saying that the Mormons are not saying what we're saying, I think that's pretty convincing. But yet, Mormons keep bringing those things up. Anyway, you were a part of that campaign, were you not, Eric, to actually distribute these books by Floyd McElveen?
Yeah, this book was written in 1985, and in 1987, I had a chance with Youth with a Mission I was part of back in 1987, and I don't know how many hundreds of copies we handed out. We did that a number of different days. Who knows? Maybe I was the one who put that book on Dr. Millett's doorstep, but the goal was they had a map and to hit every home in Utah with this book. And I think they pretty much got it. They might not have gotten every single home.
Now, let me ask you, the reason you were doing this, of course, is because you hate Mormons, right?
Yeah. Isn't that something? I mean, we dedicate our lives. Here we live in Utah. I mean, the worst thing we could do if we really hated the Mormon people was to leave them alone because our theology says there is eternal separation from God forever. And so for me to even take the time and effort to sacrifice as we do to be able to be here, it's not a game to us. It really isn't. But Bill, he continues on page 30 after that paragraph you just read. I'm talking Dr. Millett. And it says, one section of the book did prove, however, to be of some interest to me. Let me paraphrase what was essentially said about 140 pages into the text. Let me stop there, Bill. I told you this is a pet peeve of mine. He's quoting throughout this book, leaving endnotes all over the place. In this book, he doesn't tell us where it is exactly. Some 140
pages. Doesn't even give us the title of the book.
We had to go, well, we knew, and you would have had to have known to be able to even look this up. You would have had to know what this book was all about, which I did right away. I understood that. But so he doesn't even have the ability to give us the name of the book or tell us the author. But he says the author pointed out that eventually two Mormon missionaries would come to the reader's door. If they do come, he pleaded, don't let them in. If, however, you do let them in, then don't listen to them. If they are allowed to tell you about their message about Joseph Smith and angels and golden plates, they will ask you to kneel and pray about the truthfulness of these things. Whatever you do, don't pray.
Now, does he have that in quotation marks, that statement?
None of it. It's
that's
all.
That's not in quotation marks.
None of it is.
So he's probably just paraphrasing what he thinks was in the book?
He definitely is, without apparently having the book in front of him.
Okay, because we could not find that exact quote in the book.
This is the only thing I could...
At least not near the page where he told us to look. It could be somewhere else, maybe.
But you know what? I'm going to say to you right now that the things that he talks about in chapter 13, starting at page 137, called the final authority, is not what this is saying at all. The only place where he gets in about prayer, he says, partly on the this is God's word, final, infallible, and forever. It says, partly on the basis of this passage in Moroni 10:4, the passage that says we're supposed to pray about the Book of Mormon's message and see if it's true. It says, Mormons declare that if you ask God with a sincere heart, he will manifest the truth of the Book of Mormon to you. The psychology of this, as well as the satanic trap, is obvious. You must be convinced that the Book of Mormon is true. Otherwise, you are insincere. Now, Bill, we've said this many times. You call it the Kobayashi Maru.
Kobayashi Maru of Mormonism, if you're a Star Trek fan, of course, is the no-win scenario. And I have asked Mormons, well, what does it mean when it talks about real intent? And I've had Mormons tell me, you have to want it to be true. That's what they've told me. So he goes on, and he's talking about this Moroni 10:4 prayer.
Yeah, and then down on the page 140 of God's Word, it says, now
infallible. Don't say God's
Word. God's Word, final, infallible, forever. It makes it sound like the Bible.
I know.
Now, if someone were to say to me, pray about it, prayer is the test of truth. When you pray, God will show you what is right, end quote. That's the Mormon speaking. I would answer that for some sincere souls, prayer sounds like the ideal solution. The problem? I have prayed about it, and I got a different answer than others did. Others pray about the same things and still get an entirely different answer. If prayer were the solution, then Muslims who pray five times a day should get the same answer I do. However, their answers are all different than mine. We've said this many times, Bill, that we do believe in prayer. A lot of Mormons would say, don't you believe in prayer? Why won't you pray about Moroni 10? Why don't you take that and take the test? But the problem is, God very clearly says we're not supposed to take a test like that. If you were going to logically take it to its conclusion, then I guess we should pray about every religion, including Islam, to see if it has perhaps a better feeling than the other religions.
Yeah, I think that's a big misunderstanding. When I have told Mormons, I'm not going to pray about the Book of Mormon. I have never even prayed about the Bible in that kind of a context. And they'll say, well, you just don't believe in prayer. No, it's because I do believe in prayer and the sanctity of prayer. I believe it's sacred. I don't believe it's something to be misused. The Bible doesn't give us that kind of instruction in order for determining whether or not a religion is true. It tells us, in fact, in 1 John 4:1, beloved, don't believe every spirit, but try the spirits to see whether they are of God. Why? Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. So that's what we encourage people to do.
Now, Bill, he's in that paragraph I read from Millett on modern Mormonism, he makes it sound like this book, God's Word, Final, Infallible, and Forever, is trying to say that you should never talk to the Mormon missionaries, because Millett had written, if they are allowed to tell you about their message about Joseph Smith and angels and golden plates, they will ask you to kneel and pray about the truthfulness of these things. Whatever you do, don't pray. And yet, in this book, it's very clear in God's word, final, infallible, and forever, that it's okay to talk to the missionaries and have a logical discussion.
He tells the story of some people in his church that did that.
Page 142, Alan B. Chick and Bruce Walters, two fine Christian men in our church, recently had a confrontation with several Mormon missionaries. The conversation went something like this. Alan, how do you know the Book of Mormon is the Word of God? Mormon, I have prayed about it, and I have a testimony that I know it is true and that Joseph Smith, to whom it was given, is a prophet of God. Alan, what is your evidence that the Book of Mormon is true and that Joseph Smith is a prophet of God? How do you know it to be true in either case? Mormon, I know it's true because I have prayed about it and feel it is true. I also know that it is true because the Mormon Church has a living prophet to guide us into all truth. Alan, how do you know that this living prophet is a prophet of God? Mormon, I have a testimony that our living prophet is a prophet of God. And it goes on. Let me just say this. Number one, circular reasoning. All over the place here. I mean, the Mormon is basing everything on his feelings, and his discussion, Alan's discussion with this Mormon, is so typical of other discussions we have all the time.
I was going to say, it's not much different than what we have heard many times when we're talking to LDS people.
I want the listeners to understand as well. Did you notice? I thought Alan did a good job. He asked lots of questions. Notice in this where supposedly this is a bad book. It's an anti-Mormon book, according to Dr. Millett, and yet all we're doing here, all Alan was doing, was asking questions to try to understand. And all you're left with is, well, just pray about it. Get this good feeling. And what the Christian view is that we're not supposed to pray about something that God has not intended us to pray. It says in 1 Thessalonians 5:21, we're supposed to pray about everything. The Bereans were called most noble in Acts 17 when they searched the scriptures to see if what Paul was saying was true over and over again. There are certain things we don't pray about. I don't pray about whether I should steal my neighbor's car. Obviously, that's something that God has very clearly made known to us in his word.
We should make it clear that we are not saying that prayer should not be a part of our search for truth.
Absolutely.
Certainly it should be. We should be asking God to guide us and to show us things that we need to see in order to make a rational conclusion. But we are not saying that you merely just say this simple prayer according to Moroni 10:4. First of all, we don't even know if there was a Moroni that actually even said that. So right there you're drawing a conclusion. But we're merely saying, look at the evidence. Look at the facts and see if the facts support what the Mormons are telling us. And if they don't, then obviously then this is not something that you want to believe, because to believe in something that has been proven false is not faith, it's foolishness. That's all we're saying. We're not discounting prayer at all. But unfortunately, Dr. Millett has misrepresented Floyd McElveen in this book.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism.